scripture reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And the second scripture reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tanner Fixeri. For those of you who do not know me, I am the seminarian of sorts at NAPC. When I'm not studying at Princeton Theological Seminary in New Jersey, I'm privileged to be here, and I get to work with the youth and sometimes offered an opportunity to preach. Unfortunately for you, I'm not funny like David is, and I'm very much in training, but somehow we'll manage. He also plays pranks on me, where he changes the password to the iPad and such. Like, my I don't have it. My first sermon, the power went out. He says it has nothing to do with him.
There you go.
Thank you. So when I was really young, I have memories about being around 3 or 4 years old, and I used to wake up earlier than everyone else in my family, and what I would do is I would sit and wait outside my parents' door. My dad and I were usually the first ones up in the morning, and he would put me on his shoulders, he would carry me downstairs and make me breakfast, and we would have sometimes an hour of time, just he and I, and that was our time in the morning. And I knew that if I were asleep, by the time he got out of his room, he would start the morning without me. So I was very intentional about being there and waiting for him. I tell you the story because a lot of our message this morning is about waiting and keeping awake and being excited about somebody coming. We've been going through Advent the past couple of weeks, and we've been talking about Jesus coming into a broken world. As we've been anticipating the arrival of Jesus on Christmas Day, we've explored a Savior that entered into the mess, who not only can sympathize with our hurt and our pain, but took that upon himself. And our main text for today is in 1 Thessalonians, a book written to a church that had been experiencing intense persecution, a church that understands hurt. And message of 1 Thessalonians is, throughout all this hurt, around all this death that's around us, we will be rewarded in the end if we endure, and it will all be worth it. And that brings us to, towards the end, chapter 5, which is where our main text is in. The verse 2 says, "He will come. Jesus will come again like a thief in the night." So, first thing that this passage points out is that we are still waiting. Jesus came on Christmas Day, and there is still waiting involved in our walk of faith. So in a very real sense, our Advent does not end. It does not confine to the month of December. It is actually very central to our Christian lives. We are in a constant state of anticipation and excitement for Jesus' coming. Second, this is not something that is particularly new. It says, "For you yourselves know." The Thessalonian church was already familiar with the teachings of Jesus, and this passage is paraphrasing something that Jesus said in Mark 13. "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when that time will come." So when Paul says Jesus will come like a thief in the night, he means we don't know exactly when it will happen. It is not like in Home Alone when Harry and Marv say that we're going to come to the house at 9 o'clock. Kevin overhears them and he has this time to set up traps throughout the house. It's not like that. It seems that every year some leader or preacher starts doing all of this math with numbers in the Bible, and they say, "I figured out exactly when the day of the Lord is going to come. So everybody get your act together and we're going to prepare on this specific day." It's an incorrect way of anticipating the day of the Lord. Verse 6 says that we need to keep awake. It's not talking about literally needing to keep awake, but we should just always be ready, constantly anticipating Jesus' coming. There's also this mindset, this awareness that we have. To be awake means to see clearly, to see the world for what it is, and to be expecting a Savior to come back and set things right. Verse 3 says, everyone is saying peace and security. This can sound a little confusing at first. What it's describing is a lot of people are saying that they feel secure. See this most in people that say, you know, I want to live my life right now, and I'll take care of all that religion stuff later, but right now I just want to do what I want to do. And behind that statement is an assumption that we're going to live a very long time. But if Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night, he could come at any time. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be before this service is over. Our life on earth is already so brief, and it could be cut off sooner than we anticipate. But we're always planning and thinking that we have all this time on earth when we're not really sure that we do. And to be fair, it's good for us to plan and be prepared for the future. But what we should really be planning for is not on this earth. So we can't go through life saying, peace and security, feeling secure in how much time we have left. Our ongoing Advent is about not about being ready at all times. Verse 5 starts describing, "You are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." Paul then starts to describe a state of soberness. Well, I could go on a tangent and start talking about what the Bible says about drunkenness and how that's not what God desires for us. I think for the theme that we've been going through in this message, soberness can be better described as a state of mind, of an awareness, like I said before, but also just level-headedness and seeing the world through clear eyes. The world is constantly telling us that the purpose of our life is to make ourselves happy. And we should just do what we can to enjoy ourselves while we can on this earth. And we can go through our whole lives just in this stupor, trying the best we can to just make ourselves as happy as possible and enjoy ourselves. But there's more to it than that. The Bible tells us that we were created to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And that truth frees us to see the world for what it truly is, to see where we come from, what our purpose is, what life is all about. As children of light, we see clearly. There's this ongoing threat in our lives of just going through life, going through the motions, being unaware of what's going on around us. I recently had an opportunity to catch up with an old friend from college. We went to Denison together, and it turns out he lives in New Jersey these days, too, and we're catching up, and eventually our conversation starts to get a little deeper, and he starts sharing me with, he's not a believer, but he starts sharing with me that he believes in some kind of God, but not one that is actively involved in our lives. So I say to him, or I ask, you believe in this God, but do you think he cares about you? And he says, you know, I've never really thought about it that way before. And I remember being really shocked that someone could go that far into life without even considering something that is really a very big deal. But we are all vulnerable to that, of not even considering things that are of utmost importance. Children of Light, our ongoing Advent is all about awareness and anticipation. And we lose focus sometimes. Though this is not the main point of the passage, I think there's something to be said about children of light having everything out in the open. Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, verse 17, nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. I think one takeaway we can get from this passage is that children of light do not live with secrecy. So one thing we can ask ourselves is, am I a transparent person? Is honesty something that I show through my life? And do I make that a priority in my actions? One thing I've noticed about myself is that when I text and someone starts looking over my shoulder, it doesn't matter what it is. I try to hide it, and I don't understand. It's not even embarrassing or anything, but we always feel like we have something to hide. And I'm not entirely sure why all the time. But I'm really hoping that we could one day just be full disclosure in those around us. That's something that I'm still striving towards. But I see myself that secrecy is just a constant temptation. Another element of our ongoing Advent is, Advent is an urgent thing. If the day of the Lord could come like a thief in the night, if it could happen at any time, that means we should live every day like it could be our last. And when I say that, I've seen that phrase used correctly, and I've seen that phrase used incorrectly. More often than not, I see it in my generation when they say stuff like, you only live once, or no regrets, and you see it in that kind of culture. And it usually does lead to living and doing things that you will eventually regret. I'm actually advocating for something very opposite. If we don't know how much time we have on this earth, then we need to do what we can to build up God's kingdom while we still can, while we still have the time. Because there will come a day when we stand before our Creator and He will say, I've given you all this time. What have you done with it? Have you left an impact? Did you do something of eternal significance? This Advent thing also gives us an urgency in how we share the gospel with other people. For those of you who invited your friends to church on Christmas Eve and they were here, I'm so glad that happened. It was such a great service, and David was up here and he shared the gospel, and some people got to hear it for the first time. That's an amazing thing. I don't want it to stop there. We don't know when the day of the Lord will come, so we don't know how much time we have to share the gospel with people. And so we can't put it off until later. And if you're here and you don't consider yourself a Christian, or you don't know where you stand in all this, it is my sincerest hope that you come to know this Jesus, the God of the universe who came into this world in the form of a man and took upon himself the penalty of sin and death that we all deserved so that through him we could have eternal life with him. I want you to experience that. I also don't want you to put it off until later. I've been talking a lot about how this message should scare us into shaping up, but mostly this Advent is supposed to be hopeful and exciting. When you look at the Revelation passage, there is so much hope behind it. There is an inexpressible joy that we will experience when this day comes if you are in Christ. I recently decided I was going to keep up more with the news and be more aware of what's going on in the world, and I'm already starting to think that it might have been a mistake. Because you read the news and you see all these stories, there's death everywhere. And there's war that just seems to never end. And there's still slavery on earth. And you hear stories that just tear your heart to pieces. And there's this yearning in our hearts when we hear that news of just a world that's different than what it is now. Revelation tells us that it will be different. But here's the best part of it all, and I don't want you to miss this part. Revelation says that he will be with them. We will one day be with God. That's the best thing that I could ever tell you about heaven. When we imagine heaven, there's usually, when you see it in movies or when people fantasize about what heaven will be like, it's usually just a collection of earthly pleasures. You know, there's waterfalls, and maybe there'll be this nice concert, and Jimi Hendrix will be there. Maybe a pool full of... It's not good enough. Heaven is so much better than that because God will be there. Is God your greatest hope? Is that the one thing that you desire most? If that's the case, then heaven will be exceedingly joyful for you. Verse 4 says that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I just know that given the broken world that we live in, there is very likely someone in this room that is going through a lot of hurt and a lot of heartbreak. And I want you to know that when this day comes, God will personally comfort you for every pain you've ever experienced. That should be one of our greatest hopes in Advent, in enduring through all of our hurt and our mess in this world. We anticipate a day when we will be comforted for all that. And God will make all of it okay. This push to keep awake in our Advent is helpful to keep us from backsliding. Backsliding is a term used to describe when we start going back to our old ways. Backsliding is a lot like physical strength. I myself was not a very good athlete in high school, and I definitely am not a good athlete now. But what I do know is that you don't wake up one morning and suddenly you can't do a pull-up anymore. It happens over time when you neglect your own physical conditioning. Backsliding is a lot like that. Maybe you skipped prayer a few times and you get out of the habit. Or maybe you start getting desensitized to a particular sin. But backsliding is very dangerous because it allows us to be comfortable with not keeping awake, with not being focused, with not actively anticipating a day when Jesus comes back. Verse 11 tells us that one thing we can do to prevent backsliding is by encouraging one another. Do you talk with your loved ones about your relationship with Christ constantly? I used to lead Young Life in college, and I had this one particular co-leader who, you want to start conversations with something like, "Hey, what has the Lord been teaching you lately?" And I loved that. It showed me that my relationship with God was important to him. It showed me where his priorities were, and it really left an impact on me. And we should all be doing that. So I encourage you to have more conversations that are about Jesus. We should be encouraging one another to be ready for the day of the Lord. There's another opportunity for us to prepare and grow in this. Coming this Friday, there's this tradition where we all set goals for ourselves. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? New Year's resolutions? New Year's resolutions have the potential to be very helpful for us if they're done right. While a lot of New Year's resolutions are about, I want to read more books, or I want to eat healthier, and those are good New Year's resolutions, but we should be aiming higher than that. We should be making resolutions for ourselves that we should be stronger in Christ by the end of 2016 than we were now. So make a Bible reading plan, especially if you haven't read the Bible all the way through before. Read Jonathan Edwards' resolutions to give you some ideas. Schedule a family prayer time. Just do something that will give you a platform on which you can grow and be strengthened in the Holy Spirit. I'll close with this. We will always be waiting for Jesus this side of heaven. Advent is just a way of life for us. But we should be constantly anticipating it, thinking that it could happen any day. It should be convicting for us, but it should also be very hopeful and very comforting for us. So as we leave here today, I want you to just get excited for when that day comes. Because for those of us who are in Christ, it will be exceedingly better than we could possibly imagine. Thanks be to God.